This is an Ant Podcast Management production. Hello and welcome to What the Faux Travel Podcast. I'm Amy.
And I'm Nick. We've been together since 2008.
And instead of saving for our future, we spent all our money on travelling.
What is a pension and should I have one?
Strap in as we take you on adventures around the world.
From the high mountaintops to reporting from under the deep blue.
There isn't anywhere we won't take you.
So where are we off to today then, Amy?
Today, we're off to Helsinki in Finland. Hello and welcome to What the Faux Travel Podcast with Nick and Amy.
Hello everyone. Welcome to our Helsinki episode.
I feel like this year's going really fast. It's June already.
The year is flying by. I know what you mean. I don't know whether that's because we're at certain points in our life where just life seems to go fast. You know, when you're a kid and like a 4-hour journey seems to take forever. But yeah, the year's flying by.
I think that just means that we're old.
Yeah, exactly.
We're getting on a bit. I like to think that we started this podcast in 2015. So how old were we there? I was 24, which means you were 26.
Well, we're now early 30s. I'm not mid 30s, early 30s. Maybe we should settle down.
Yeah, maybe we should stop being children, traveling the world. Nah. Right, let's get on with this episode then. So today we're talking all about Helsinki, Finland. And if you're a long-time listener, you'll know that this isn't the type of podcast where we invite guests on for the whole show sometimes.
We used to.
We haven't done it for a really long time. We used to. But we spent so much time with our guide, Heidi, in Helsinki. She's basically co-presenting the show with us. She's our local guide, our educated expert, our piece de resistance.
So, hello everybody. My name is Heidi and I work as a Helsinki guide and I have the great pleasure of showing you around my city and some of my favorite spots in it. And welcome to join along.
Before we hear more from Heidi, you know what time it is.
Game show facts. Finland is a northern European nation bordering Sweden, Norway, and Russia. Its capital, Helsinki, occupies a peninsula and surrounding islands in the Baltic Sea. Helsinki is home to an 18th century sea fortress, the fashionable design district, and diverse museums. The northern lights can be seen from the country's Arctic Lapland province, a vast wilderness with national parks and ski resorts. The population is around 5 million. Finland uses the euro and the official languages are Finnish and Swedish, although 70% of Finns can speak English fluently. Finland has a high standard of living because of low income inequality, high social support, freedom to make decisions, and low levels of corruption. Sauna originated in Finland. Forest covers 74% of the entire country. The mobile gaming sensation Angry Birds began life in Finland, founded by students in 2003. The Moomins are also Finnish. Finland has the most amount of heavy metal bands per capita in the world. The Finns have a word for staying in, drinking beer in your underwear with no intention of going out. Kaslarikanit. That's not what it is. Finns have a tradition of ant nest sitting competitions. A fun thing to do with friends. You take down your pants, sit on an ant nest, first person up loses. And finally, Finland is the home of wife carrying, a sport in which male competitors race while each carrying a female teammate.
I feel like the ant one is a little unhygienic. I wonder if that's actually true. Do they actually do that?
Let's hope for the sake of this, yes. Don't let the truth get in the way of a good story. Shall I? I'm going to very quickly translate the word for staying in, drinking beer in your underwear with no intention of going out.
Great. I want to hear it.
Kalsarikannit.
Whoa.
And let's hear your version of it again.
Kalsarikannit.
Kalsarikannit.
I love it.
Very nice. It doesn't sound Finnish to me.
No, but I love it when countries have one word for like what we would use a whole sentence for.
Okay, so language lessons with Amy. So we want tourists to be able to come here and say the basic words. So I think, how can they say hi or hello?
Hey or hey hey. Moi or moi moi.
And am I, that's many words. Am I correct in thinking moi moi is something that like people use every day? It's more common.
Yeah, they are both very informal, both hey and moi.
So why hey hey, moi moi? Why is it double?
Yeah, it's something we're always laughing about with friends, that we have this doubling thing in our language, like with the greetings, or in Swedish also thank you. You can say tack or tack tack. And then you say like go home or home home, go out or out out, and so on. So there's a lot of words that you can double like that.
Yeah, we actually say the out out one in England. We have a very famous comedian who said, we don't just go out, we go out out.
Right, so you do doubling as well.
Exactly. So how would you say thank you in Finnish?
Kiitos.
Kiitos, yes. Which I think it sounds quite Spanish sounding to me anyway.
Yeah, it could be Ecuadorian capital almost, and
exactly. Yeah.
So on. But I know a lot of people are teaching that you should think mosquitos and then just remove the mos. I've heard this.
That's good. Okay, I'll remember it from now. Mosquitos. Yeah. And then finally, so if somebody's in Finland and they have a drink and they want to cheers with their friends, how would they do that?
That is a kippis.
Kippis?
Yes.
Okay, do you have to accent the I, like kippis?
Kippis, yeah.
Okay, perfect.
Is it true that Finnish is the most difficult or most complicated language in the world?
Yeah, it is actually, grammatically speaking, very, very complicated. It has a complex grammar, so I'm very, very happy that my parents decided to teach me also Finnish early on. We have two official languages here in Finland, Finnish and Swedish, so I'm a Swedish speaker, but yes, I'm eternally grateful that they decided to include Finnish from day zero. Yeah.
And when you walk around Helsinki, you see everything in two languages, right, with the road signs?
Yes, absolutely. So many things are printed in either two or then three languages, English as well. But Finnish is a very fascinating language, and it has kind of its own language tree. So if you open a book of linguistics and you see these language trees, you have the Indo-European languages, so many of them, and then there's a tiny tree right next to it, like a separate one with the Finno-Ugric languages. So that's the language family that Finnish belongs to. Finnish and Estonian are related, but then we have other more like distant relatives, like Hungarian, but I don't understand any Hungarian today, and vice versa, but like historically they are related. And then we used to have a lot of relatives on the Russian subcontinent, but they're small languages that are very sadly like dying out. So there's four of these languages, like Mari, Komi, Mordva, there are just very, very few speakers left.
So I want to hear a little bit of Finnish. So I'm not sure I've told you this, but I have a bucket list item where I need to learn 30 different sentences in 30 different languages. So I need to learn a Finnish sentence, particularly because I've just found out I'm part Finnish. So I was thinking, is there a sentence that you could teach me? Maybe something to do with Loulou, the steam. Yeah, maybe something around that. But yeah, a short, maybe easy sentence that I can learn in Finnish.
Minä olen suomalainen ja rakastan löylyä.
I think that's a bit more difficult than I said.
Let's do one word at a time.
Okay.
Minä. I. That's what it means.
Yeah.
Olen.
Olen.
Am.
Am.
Suomalainen.
Suomennemalainen.
So minä olen suomalainen. I'm a Finn, since you just discovered on your DNA test that you are.
Yeah.
And then comes the second part. Ja, which means and.
Ja.
Rakastan.
Rakastan.
Wow, that was good.
My Spanish came in handy there to roll my tongue.
Löylyä.
Löylyä.
And that I love the löyly in the sauna, the steam that's coming up from the hot rocks.
That's a beautiful sentence. I like that. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Or that will come in kitos. Very useful.
I'll tell every Finnish person I meet.
Oh, absolutely. You should.
With our Finnish language knowledge, we felt well equipped for a challenge Heidi was about to set us.
So Heidi, if we could start, if you could tell us, where are we right now?
We are at Allas Sea Pool in the middle of the city, a place where you can swim and go to sauna throughout the year. We have several different pools here. The 27 degree pool, which is open year round. Then there's also the one I call the reality check pool, where the water is always the same temperature as the surrounding seawater. And summertime, we also have a kiddie pool for children.
So just to kind of set the scene, so we are by quite a few different incredible buildings. So the High Court, what's the yellow one again?
The yellow one is the Presidential Palace, where just 3 days ago we had the Independence Day ball celebrations for that 105th birthday. And then the blue building is the Town Hall. You can also see the Helsinki Cathedral from here. So you are really like smack in the middle of the city.
And so, yeah, we're surrounded by natural waters, but then right in front of us, we have a pool, which people are swimming in with their like kind of shower caps on. And yeah, we've got steam rising from it. We've got people walking around in their bathing suits in barefoot, walking in the snow. It's such an incredible place. And we're very lucky to say that we're coming here tomorrow. And while we're here, I believe you have a challenge for us when we're in the sauna.
Absolutely. I said that this is a really great place to strike up conversations with locals. This is the sauna is a place where people really start talking to each other, even people who are maybe not as talkative otherwise. And the sauna has been known as a place where it's easier to also share difficult topics.
Yes. You can really get into the personal side with people here.
Yeah, yeah. No one is wearing their profession. Nobody is like, people are really very equal in the sauna, right?
So today we've learned that the word, well, I knew this because we use the word sauna or sauna in English, but it's become quite an international word, hasn't it?
Yeah, and it is actually the only Finnish word to have really made it globally. I mean, sauna is here is really a very existential place because back in the day, the sauna was always the most hygienic and like sterile place in the building. So you used to give birth earlier in sauna. And then also when a relative died, you performed the last rites in the sauna. So you can really see how it became this channel, like almost into the world and out of this world, and how meaningful it is still today in so many different ways, not speaking of all the health benefits that it comes with, both cold water swimming and sauna in itself.
So what is the population here in Finland?
Well, there's 5.5 million of us, and believe it or not, for those 5.5 million, we have 3.3 million saunas.
Wow. So how much does that work out on average per person? Is it like
Yeah, it is staggering. So we're really the top nation on like saunas per capita. That's actually one reason that block saunas have been made popular again, because in the name of sustainability, we cannot reach a higher ratio. Everybody cannot have like a private sauna in the future. So now again, we have a lot of really fun block saunas that want to gather people again, just like earlier before the private saunas. People came together in saunas for the talk of the town, for the local gossip, a little bit like pubs in where you live.
Yeah, in England, yeah. That's where you get all the gossip and all the news. What is the culture here? Because we've recently been to Austria, and so when you're in the sauna, it's actually advised to be naked, because that way it's cleaner. So what is the rule here in Finland?
Well, it depends on the establishment, and also if you have a mixed sauna or not. But every establishment has kind of different rules. So you should just check to like every new place that you go to, what are the rules in there. But usually if it's mixed, everybody wears their bathing suit.
What is like, what's the right way to do sauna? Is it like hot, cold, hot, cold, hot, cold?
Well, that's what usually gets very addictive, is that you go to the sauna, you start feeling a bit hot, and you realize and decide this is the right moment to take a dip or swim into the cold water. And after a little while, the sauna again starts feeling like a really great idea. So you gravitate towards the heat, and then you keep going. And after a little while, that chain is almost impossible to break. You can really get addicted to going from one place to another.
Yeah, because like, which one would you recommend finishing on? The hot one, surely?
Yes. That's how I at least do it. I finish with the sauna part.
Yeah. Did you say you come here every morning before work?
Yeah, I try to come here every morning before work. My office is not too far away from here. So yeah, this is my morning ritual.
How cool is that she goes sauna and ice plunging like every day of her life?
That's the dream. After spending time in Helsinki, I thought like, I'm really going to make an effort to do it when I get home, but there just isn't the places to do it, or it's too expensive. I would love to incorporate that into my daily routine. Honestly, I love, we've really got into it in the last year or so, like this cold water, hot sauna stuff. We're going to talk more about it on this episode. I love it. And sometimes when you hear about like rich famous celebrities who are like, yeah, I do it every day. Like, yeah, you've got one in your house. What do we, yeah, how do normal people do that unless you can do it in nature?
I guess I don't really talk about it on this podcast, but outside of travel, my next biggest love is wellness. Anything to do with health, like not too hippie with it, but like anything scientific, then I am there. So I just thought I'd give a little science section.
Please.
I don't know if we've ever done a science section before. We've done history, things like that. But I just wanted to let you know that sauna health benefits include making your heart happy and healthy. A 2018 study found that sauna bathing 4 to 7 times a week reduces the risk of death from cardiovascular disease by as much as 58%. It improves muscle function and recovery. It boosts brain function. And going in a sauna can ignite your heat shock proteins in your system. So that's basically a big spring cleanup of all of your cells. And that helps fight off heart disease and dementia. On the other end of the temperature scales, ice water plunges are also very beneficial for your health. Cold water exposure can combat symptoms of depression, strengthen your immune system, increase metabolism, and reduce inflammation in your body. The following day, we return to Alas Seapool to see for ourselves what all the fuss is about. Oh, right, so we've just walked out from the changing rooms. Outside, where it's... We should have checked the temperature outside. I think it's like -2. Big gust of wind. Yes, our biggest piece of advice here is bring flip-flops, because we're walking barefoot on the snow. Warm pool first. We've got about 30 metres left to walk in the snow. We can see the steam coming off the pools. for the warm pool, which is apparently 27 degrees. So I think that's going to feel lovely. Oh my God, my feet are so cold. They're burning. I'm going to put my feet in. Oh, that's heaven. It's not as warm as I thought it would be, actually.
Really?
No, but it's nice.
Oh. When we were brave enough to leave the warm water, we headed for the floating wooden saunas right next to the cold seawater, which on that day was around 2 degrees Celsius. Not Fahrenheit, because Celsius makes sense.
Can you just quickly explain why it makes sense?
Yeah, easily. I mean, 0 is freezing and 100 is boiling. Why would you want any other system to tell the temperature? Everyone agrees with me. Let's move on. We noticed a guy who seemed like a pro. He was very comfortable with the cold water, so we got chatting with him while attempting to get in ourselves.
Just before we play that piece of audio, Nick, I just want to point out to people that in this interview, halfway through, like, I'd done a good, at least a minute, I think, and bear in mind that these are partly edited, so I did actually stay longer, but we swapped halfway through because I couldn't stand being in the cold water to interview him. Just listen out to how many seconds Nick stayed in himself. Oh, it's very cold. Can I start by asking your name?
Yeah, TMU. TMU.
TMU. Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay, so we are in 2 degree water right now. Yeah. Are you finished?
Yeah, I'm finished.
Okay. And how long can you stay in this water for?
I don't know about how long, but usually I be here like 2 to 3 minutes.
2 to 3 minutes.
What's your advice? How do you do it? What's your advice? Is there a technique?
No technique, but you get used to it. Yeah. You start with like 15 seconds or so on. And
think about breathing.
Yeah, I take that in part also. Uh-huh. This is mostly for like recovery for the training. And I have at the moment that bone here, it's broken.
Uh-huh. So this is helping your bone heal. Can you swap?
Yeah.
Can you swap? Yeah. I need to get out. We can swap.
Is sauna, is it a good place to meet people, make friends, or is it a good place to be alone? Sorry, I have to get out.
Longer than that.
Oh, I have to get out.
We then went our separate ways to the male and female saunas, after which we met up again for a debrief.
So while I was in the women's only sauna, there was like a group of Finnish women in there, and they're all talking in Finnish, obviously, and kind of laughing and looking at me kind of like to laugh along. And I said, oh, I don't understand what you're saying. Anyway, we ended up having a really good chat, and they were teaching me about Finnish culture, but they needed to leave the sauna, so I didn't manage to get them on record. And I think they're a little bit shy to do an interview, to be honest, but they did teach me some stuff. So they were saying that it's not normal to be chatty in the sauna.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Heidi gave us the challenge to go into the sauna and try and talk to somebody. So it must be quite hard. It can't be that often that people speak. But they were all from the north of Finland.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, so that... And they were saying that a few rules. So when you're in there, if somebody's just poured the water over the coals, you're not allowed to leave. But in a way that... you're a wuss, like you're weak if you leave. So you have to withstand the pain of how hot it is and then leave after. Did you have any conversations?
Yeah, we definitely both passed the challenge. I even got a little interview in the changing rooms, which is a bit awkward because we're all kind of half naked. I was very surprised how everyone was so chatty. And two sauna experiences we've had, they've both been like that. And it's interesting that those women told you that's not normal. Maybe because both places we went to, there's lots of tourists, lots of foreigners. Like in my sauna, yeah, there was Finnish people, there was Scottish, Irish, German, Israeli,
wow,
Dutch. Yeah, that was a real mix. And we were mostly talking about football because at the moment the World Cup's going on. That's an easy way to start talking to other football fans. But I was very surprised how social the whole event is.
So the women in the sauna, they were saying they seem to think it's the women's sauna that not much talking goes on.
Right.
If any talking goes on, it's in the men's and it's like business chat.
Oh, wow. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so that's the place where they would do business, which makes sense. Like, networking works best when you're in a social setting.
So yeah, but they seem to think it's like an elevator or a lift. You don't talk and everybody looks in the other way and you just don't talk.
Well, there was a lot of talking in the men's run, so I can confirm that does happen.
Yeah.
Although, like I said, it was mostly about sports. And then this Israeli guy, because we were joking, because I'm from England, there was a Scottish and an Irishman. Sounds like a joke. Englishman,
yeah,
Scottishman, and Irishman walking to a Finnish sauna. And then the Israeli guy was like, "Ooh, you guys can talk about disputed territories, ha ha." And I'm thinking, you can fucking talk.
It's time for my favourite subject, food.
Hey. We successfully completed your challenge. We spoke to lots of people in the saunas.
That's great. I'm so happy to hear that. It's the best place to meet with people.
It's so social. I was really surprised. Yeah. What is the name of this market?
This is called the Old Market Hall. We have three market halls in Helsinki, and this is the oldest one from 1889.
Yeah. What kind of things can people buy here?
Well, I mean, you can come here for lunch, but you can also, there are several fish sellers. You have a place where you can buy cheese. You have a few cafes. And here right next to us, you can buy things for the sauna and for like well-being.
You said cafes. Is there a strong coffee culture here?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Did you know that we are the number one coffee drinkers in the world per capita?
Whoa.
You came to the land of coffee drinking.
Wow. Yeah. I'm surprised.
Yeah, I'm not sure who I would think it would be.
But
and guess
Italy?
What? Sweden is number two.
Hey, Finland is better than Sweden.
Oh, yeah. Not that we have this kind of neighbor rivalry, but...
What would you say is like the most traditional food here?
Well, we do eat a lot of fish, and we're surrounded by water. And of course, like foraging is a really big thing. Like people here really love to pick mushrooms when they're in season, berries and such.
All this chat about food is making us bloody hungry.
Yeah, so we're going to just run through some of the restaurants we went to so that when you go to Helsinki, you've got some good recommendations. Before I do that, I just want to say for my gluten-free babies out there, I'm gluten-free. Yes, it's annoying. How do you know if somebody's a vegan or gluten-free? They'll tell you. But, you know, one's a choice, one's an allergy. I can't eat it. Anyway, let's get off that soapbox. I cannot believe how easy it is to eat if you're lactose intolerant, which I'm not. But actually most of the country, they have a lot of people in Finland that are lactose intolerant. So the country just has changed. They've just moved. Like they just sell, like if you go to breakfast in a hotel in the morning, like everything will just be dairy free or lactose free. And it was so easy to be gluten free as well. She said that there's more and more gluten free needed. So the country's just moving that way as well. And I just thought it was really progressive and it made my life really easy. I mean, none of us can download. None of us can digest gluten anyway. So we are going to be moving that way. Unfortunately, like I'd love to be able to eat it, but I just can't. So yeah, it was just a very progressive country. I felt very comfortable and welcome. I mean, there were some restaurants where we'd go in, I'd be like, oh, like, I'm really sorry, but I have to be gluten-free. I always have to tell them at the start. It is the bane of my life. And they're just like, yeah, sure. Like everything's, one of the restaurants said, yeah, everything's naturally gluten-free here anyway. I was like, can I just say how much I love you?
It's a nice change though, because most places we go traveling, this isn't the case.
No, it's not. So yeah, do you want to explain the first restaurant we went to?
Yep. We had lunch at a place called Matt District. And it's almost spelt how it sounds. It's going to be in the show notes. This place maybe is kind of more for adventurous foodies. Like, what is your favorite, Amy? Beef tartar. So like kind of raw beef, stuff like that.
Yeah. You're being sarcastic there. It's just on every menu, isn't it? Like, I have actually eaten it, but
you're
just...
You're not keen.
not a massive fan of it. Yeah, I think I just get in my head that it's raw meat and it freaks me out a bit.
But people are probably thinking, oh, I've heard that Finland is an expensive place. So you're looking at about 30 to 40 euros for a main meal at Matt District.
The second place we went to has quite a funny name, particularly in Portuguese. So it's called Koo.
Vital
K-U-U. And that actually means ass, or like in Portuguese. So we were secretly Googling in our heads. I don't think it means that in... Actually, Heidi told us what it meant.
Yeah, I think it's... Is it not kitchen?
I think so.
That's a guess. It might not be. This is my favorite. This is like someone's cozy living room, wasn't it?
I think, are these the mushroom and the fish roe, are they coming like...
Oh, it was really nice, guys. We'd say like, yeah, out of all of these restaurants, we're going to say, I'd recommend if you only get a chance to go to one, I'd go to restaurant Koo.
Do you love Koo?
I do love Koo.
Bloody, give me Koo every day.
So you're looking at around 55 euros for a four-course lunch. And like Nick said, it's really cozy. Like, you're almost like in someone's living room. And this was the place that they said, oh, yeah, like everything's naturally gluten-free. And just all the ingredients, you could tell they really cared about the food. And the waitress was really knowledgeable. Like, yeah, I would actually really like to go back there.
We also had dinner one night at Restaurant Passio. We were expecting, well, we weren't expecting. I remember me and Amy thought, oh, let's just have a bit of a light dinner. We weren't too hungry, but we were blown away in a good way. When we arrived, we had a 5-course dinner waiting for us, wine with each course as well. Real fine dining, beautiful, nice food in a really nice, like, elegant restaurant. It wasn't too like some, I think some people get intimidated by like a fancy restaurant and they might think that they're not welcome there, but it was...
That's me.
Casual. Like, do you not remember? Like, it was still quite casual.
Yeah, no, this one I did feel, yeah, I felt comfortable there. It was like, yeah, like nice interiors, but it wasn't like we'd been traveling all day kind of, you know, going around the city and I didn't feel uncomfortable walking in my trainers kind of thing. Like, yeah.
Oh, yeah. We weren't dressed smartly particularly. But yeah, 5-course meal, amazing food. One of the courses... I think Amy, you and Heidi had second thoughts about, because it was a tongue from an animal. So yeah, one of the courses was tongue, yeah. Which I was fine with. I like koo and I like tongue.
Put those two things together and you got a good night, my friend. But yeah, like I did feel like I needed to avoid that, and I felt refreshed by Heidi, because even though she's like showing us her city, she was very bluntly honest that she wasn't going to be eating it either, which I thought was really funny.
Yeah, and sometimes you expect the locals to be like, what's wrong with you? Get it down, ya. Get a tongue down, ya. You'll love it.
But luckily there was no force feeding there. But yeah, it was really, really nice restaurant. As we said, 3 courses, you're looking at about 58 euros for a tasting menu, and then 5 courses, 78 euros, and then wine pairing as well. So like by the end of the night, again, I'm not a massive drinker, but I had like 5 glasses of wine like stacked up on the table. But it all, yeah, all really, really great. And even though you've paid for the 5 courses, actually, we had like 7 or 8 plates come up, because like you get like 3 mini desserts, yeah. And it was a lot of food. It was, if you're a foodie and that's one of the main reasons why you travel, then these restaurants, you'll love them.
It was an experience. It was great.
So while having our lunch at Koo, that was the really nice, cozy one, we were chatting to Heidi about our favourite topic, stereotypes.
Hey.
Spoiler, if you haven't been a loyal listener to What the Faux Travel Podcast, you wouldn't know this, but I've recently discovered something about my heritage. So I recently found out that I am 1.4% Finnish.
Wow, congratulations.
Thank you. So really, I want to understand, as a generalization, what are Finnish people like?
Well, there's quite a few stereotypes. One is about that we're not exactly the like small talk nation, or that we don't maybe easily like show emotions. Then there's also like modesty and so on. Another joke during COVID was that we need a large like personal space. So when this term was introduced with like social distancing, the joke here was that, oh, that's what it's called, because we've actually done it for like forever and ever.
Okay, so the two things you said so far is small talk, which I think I agree with, and personal space. I do like my personal space. I've also heard that Finnish people can be quite obedient. Is that true?
Yeah, that's definitely a stereotype that we follow all kinds of like rules and regulations, and that you have people waiting even in the night. If it's red light, there are no cars, but you still have people waiting because it's red. So yeah, that is definitely another one of the stereotypes.
So to sum up, that's another thing. Am I a rule breaker, Nick?
Yes, this part of you isn't Finnish.
When I was younger, I was late for everything. I say that I was even late being born. I was 2 weeks late.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I think I'm not finished in that sense. And I have a sense the next thing we're going to talk about, I won't be finished either. Because isn't rock and metal music quite big here?
It is. So I've heard that we are number one per capita in like hard rock bands. Wow. And we have quite a few of them, and a huge festival summertime as well called Tuska, which means pain.
Oh, that sounds very rock metal kind of vibe.
So do you know why there are so many heavy like rock metal bands? Why do you think that is?
Well, it's hard to speculate in that, but maybe it is like one kind of outlet.
Now it's time for our What the Fo game, which we recorded on location at Alas Seapool. We've brought back a classic, guys. We've brought back an old favourite, but this time with a twist.
The Capitals game. Ice edition.
Who left the fridge open? I think that's on Tropic Thunder, one of Ben Stiller's movies. Like the ice freezes over and he's like... He's got two babies on his chest and like two guns, and he's like, who left the fridge open?
I know exactly which bit you mean.
Okay, there's our jingle.
We are about to play the Captain's Game, Ice Edition.
Ice Edition.
2 degrees in the water, 30 seconds, and we have to get as many capital cities as possible. Let's go.
Amy is up first.
Latvia.
Riva. Riga.
Faroe Islands.
Oh my god, we've just been there. What is it called? Oh my god, I forgot what it's called.
You can skip.
Skip.
Germany.
Berlin.
South Korea.
Oh my god, I forgot the name. Skip.
Indonesia.
Jakarta.
Mexico.
Mexico City.
Yep. Bangladesh.
Go. We've just been to Helsinki. Why can't I remember the name?
Torshavn.
How are you going to follow up on that massive 4 points there, Nick?
I thought you'd be able to do better than that, even if your brain is frozen. You're good. Like, you know, I think the majority of those questions I ask, you know the answer. Just for some reason, your brain doesn't let you access the answer.
Yeah, like the Faroe Islands one.
Yeah, Torshavn.
That annoys me because we'd only recently got back from there. But yeah, like if I'm in a situation where I'm a bit stunned, which obviously with 2 degree water I was, or like in a job interview, my mind just goes blank and I just look really stupid. And then I'm thinking, oh my God, I look really stupid. Everybody's looking at me. Why am I so stupid? And I just think about all the wrong decisions I've made in my life and then forget where I am. And then I'm like, oh yeah, I'm playing a
Time's
game.
Up.
And then...
Oh, is it my go now?
It is indeed. Well done, well done.
Go.
Finland.
Helsinki.
Greenland.
Nuuk.
Thailand.
Bangkok.
Indonesia.
Jakarta.
Morocco. You're doing really well.
Rabat.
Bhutan.
Don't know.
Colombia.
Bogota.
Russia.
Moscow.
What time are you at? Kenya.
Kenya, Nairobi.
Bangladesh.
Dhaka. I need to get out.
Are you
time
done?
Time up.
Well done.
So you did a bit better there, Nick. Annoyingly, like you always do better on quizzes. Every time we go to a pub quiz or whatever, you annoyingly know all the answers.
So what, I got 9 then and you got 4. So I did win. However, we've gone to VAR because we think there might be a disqualification for me. See, Amy yeah. was in for 30 seconds. I could only last 29. I mean, we're talking about 1 second here. Does that mean I'm disqualified?
I think something should happen from this. I don't think, like, either a point taken away or halved, guys, if anyone wants to be on my side.
If it was halved, then I'd have 4.5 and I'd still win.
Oh, I can't even do math.
Okay, I get a half penalty and I still win.
Oh, man, that's so embarrassing. I do actually know my capital cities, guys, I promise.
And maths.
Right, let's get the subject off of me. So, guys, we need you to tell us who wins, really. Like, I mean...
Obvious.
I don't know. You could just say me. You could just do it. On social media, particularly on Instagram. We're not actually logged into our Facebook anymore because it got taken away from us. Someone hacked my account, basically. Oh, yeah. So if you do ever message us on there, we can't reply. So Instagram is probably the best place. Let us know what you think. Who won that? The Capitals Game. Ice Edition.
Who left the fridge open? Now, for our weekend in Helsinki, we were staying right in the centre of the city at Hotel Scandic Hub Helsinki. That's a mouthful. And it's a hotel I was genuinely really impressed with. Really, really nice place. Great location. I'd fully recommend. Again, link is going to be in the show notes. It is a genuine recommendation. We had a really good stay there. But for one night only, Heidi had a special surprise for us. We jumped into a taxi.
This street is, it takes me forever to walk this street because there's so much.
Yeah.
You see the zero on the wall?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's a zero waste restaurant.
Ah,
and
right.
They are probably...
After getting out the taxi, we realised we had arrived at our destination, a Hilton hotel on the outskirts of the city. The link is in the show notes as well because we can't pronounce the name as usual. Finnish is a hard language,
oh,
okay? But this ain't no normal hotel, my friend. They have luxury glass igloos.
Preheated, so we
wow.
Heat
oh, wow.
Whoa, cozy.
It's like so cool.
Yes. Yes.
Kitos. Yes.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
See you.
See you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, so that was an experience. And I remember years ago, whenever we've researched Finland, there is the famous Igloo Village, I think, which is like in the north of the country, so more in the Arctic, where it's way more likely that you'll see the Northern Lights, the Aurora Borealis. So we didn't see them at this point, but we are close to the city. But, you know, it is possible sometimes. But it was a great experience sleeping in this igloo. And what I loved was waking up and you can see everywhere up and around you. Because unfortunately, the night we were there, it was cloudy. It would be nice to see stars.
It always happens, doesn't it? Like when you go and you like stay in a place like that, you're just like, can the weather please just be on my side?
Yeah. But then when we wake up and we're overlooking this lake, it was a bit like a frozen version of if you imagine like an overwater bungalow in the Maldives.
That's true, actually.
We're
like right on the edge, weren't we? So yeah, like if you look outside, you can just see the lake. You can't see any ground.
Yeah. So it just felt like we were kind of floating or, you know, we're suspended above this lake. The landscape was ridiculous. It was so beautiful. It's like something from another planet. Wasn't it? It was so beautiful.
Yeah, it really did. It felt like we'd been moved into a film set or something. And this was actually on my bucket list, which I wrote in 2012. So I was super happy because we didn't know we were doing this. And it was kind of, like we said, it was a surprise from Heidi. But like when we arrived, I was just overwhelmed thinking like, and in Finland as well, such a cool place to do it.
sleeping in a glass igloo, like, yeah, amazing. There was a button you can press to like heat up the windows to melt any snow or ice so you get a more clear view. It was really special.
Yeah, and so just so you know what it looks like, so you go through the door, which has got code. The door is really heavy. It's almost like feeling like you're in a spaceship because to get out, it's almost like you have to get dressed up because it's so cold outside. So you've got your spacesuit on and then like open the door. It's so heavy. Keep getting out. But yeah, you've got a kitchenette in there. You've got the bed, space under the bed for your bags.
A little toilet.
And then like a toilet. Yeah, the toilet was, it's not like a normal flushing toilet. It's like something you'd have in a camper van, like a compost toilet. But you included in the price, you also get one of the Hilton room, normal rooms as well. So you can use that if you want more of a normal toilet, shower, whatever. But yeah, great experience.
Link in the show notes. Oh, yeah, that night we went to Loulou, which is another sauna. I think I said that quite well then. Loulou. So this place, yeah, it's a sauna. It's a place you can go to for the sauna experience. There's a traditional old sauna, which I loved. You walk outside in this like black wooden building. But there's also a way more modern sauna inside. You've got the classic bucket. You pull the bucket and the cold water goes on you. And it's a really modern, sleek looking place, and it's more really a place for kind of, I say, young people like 20s, 30s who want to go out and socialize and have a drink as well. And what was amazing, exhilarating and terrifying was you can walk outside and jump in the sea, and it's at nighttime, which I think when it's dark it makes it feel, the water makes it feel much colder. It was probably the same temperature as Alassie pool, but I remember getting in and screaming have it, like hating it, feeling like I'm being stabbed all over the place. It's great. Go Finland. It's amazing.
So cold on your feet.
It seems like the most stupid thing in the world to do. Oh my God.
Breathe.
Oh my God.
-5, guys.
I felt like I was getting stabbed all over my body. I had to get out instantly and just ran back inside.
Yeah, so within the building on the other side, like once you're fully dressed and out of the sauna, there is actually a bar restaurant. So it really is somewhere you could go on a night out, which is so great for people, particularly if you don't like drinking, but you still want to socialize, go out. It was really cool. And like groups of friends were there. It was a Friday night. Everyone's hanging out. It was really cool. I really, really, really wish we had something like that here in Manchester, because I think I'd be there every weekend.
Yeah, you'd prefer that as a night out rather than go to an actual bar or a club.
100%. Like you're doing things that are good for your body, but you're also with your friends, which is also good for your brain. And you're not ruining it. You're not going to wake up the next day with a hangover, unless you are drinking in the sauna, but you know. Yeah, I love it. It was so different to anything we've ever been to before. It was really, really unique. So link in the show notes. That is probably one of my biggest recommendations of this episode, actually. It was very cool. For our final day in Helsinki, Heidi insisted on taking us to the local library. And as we say in England, we thought she was taking the piss. But at the back of our minds, we knew that some of you listeners who follow us on Instagram, you had very kindly replied to our recommendation request and you told us to go there as well. So we knew there must be something very special about this place.
So Audi Library, which I actually love to call the Helsinki Living Room, it was a gift from us to us when we turned 100, and now we just turned 105, so yeah, it's been around for a couple of years. But we are standing in a place where we see the artwork dedication. Helsinkians before the build could dedicate this library to anybody that they wanted, and people came up with amazing words. So around us in this double helix staircase, we have hundreds of words that passers-by wanted to dedicate this library to. So you see like the rainbow families, the sun worshippers, the sauna people, of course, the visionaries, the people who went astray. You have the peace builders and the dog people. I mean, you can imagine everything, every possible attribute. And the idea is, of course, that this space is dedicated to everybody.
So what else can you do in this library, which is more than a library?
Yeah, there is a lot. So the whole second floor is like an urban workshop. And you have, for example, like private gaming cubicles where you can borrow the space to try all different kinds of computer games that involve like VR gadgets. Then there are all kinds of meeting spaces. You have sewing machines, 3D printers, UV printer, all kinds of like specialized printers and a heat press for making like clothes or other like bags, items that you want to print something on. We have a music studio, like top of the line one, that you can borrow free of charge if you feel like making music. You can borrow the instruments for free if you don't happen to have instruments. So they can just hook you up to everything and let your creativity go wild.
Wow. So if anybody wants to create a podcast, a travel podcast that rivals ours, they can come to Helsinki and use the studio.
We have so many studio spaces, yeah, that you can use for different purposes.
Oh. And it is a very beautiful, modern-looking building. And especially in these winter months, it's a nice place for people to hang out in the warm, off the streets, where at the moment it's snowing and very windy. What's the name of this place again?
It's called Oodi. Which means ode, like ode to, and this, I guess, is ode to Finland, an ode to our first 100 years. Let there be many more.
First time I've said this on What the Fudge Ever podcast, but I was so impressed with this library. It was one of my favorite things I've ever seen. And it was just, it was so cool. It's like a nice, actually, like if you're, no matter what age, if you want to go somewhere and get out of the cold and hang out with your friends and watch sport or watch TV or read a book or start a business or record a podcast or record a music album, like I was so impressed. And the equipment there was all like nice and new and modern, and it was just such a nice place to hang out. But I couldn't help thinking like, oh, I'd love to have something like this in England. But maybe you think I'm wrong, but I just think it would get ruined.
That's so true, actually.
I think people would take advantage of it and it would get destroyed and it'd be messy and people just wouldn't take pride in it. But it was such a cool place to hang out. I loved it.
Yeah, I think it would get ruined. And that's really interesting. It'd be nice to know, like, why are our societies so different? Is that maybe we're just like dumping on our own one because this is where we've grown up? But, you know, all of the Scandinavian countries and Finland, because Finland is not Scandinavia. Ooh. It's part of the Nordic countries, but it's not Scandinavia. They're all these countries are in the surveys, aren't they? Like happiest country or most clean country. And it always seems to be this area of the world. They really do have a lot right when it comes to tax and how they use their tax money. And if anybody's in a position where they could be moving to any of these countries, I think it's a good thing. Like, I think it's a brilliant way to bring up your children. Like if we had kids, I'd love to know they're in this library. Like, they're not sitting on the streets doing whatever English kids do on the streets.
What did you do
days.
On the streets, Amy?
I'm not going to talk about it. But yeah, like, it was a really, really impressive place.
Yeah, these Nordic countries are great places to live. Maybe it is because people pay such high taxes. They're thinking like, I've paid for this library. I'm not going to trash it. Maybe. I don't know. But I love these countries and I want to spend more time there. Now, after everything we'd seen this weekend, I couldn't help but think life must be pretty damn good in Helsinki. Heidi tells us why she couldn't agree more.
Well, personally, I think it has the benefits of both a small city and a big city. It's like the perfect mix between the two. I love being close to the water. Helsinki is just surrounded by water on all sides. We have about 300 islands surrounding us. And then also the proximity to nature and forests. It's very like calming and nice to do forest walks. And also you can easily and really close to the city center do foraging or getting berries and mushrooms and all those kind of things.
I also think it's reflected in the design. So everywhere, well, most places that you look, things are built from natural materials. So a lot of timber and wood. And I just think that the Scandinavian type design of everything, to me, it is very calming.
Yeah, Finland has a strong design scene and Helsinki as well. We have a design district and there's we have a chief design officer in the city. So especially after 2012, when we were World Design Capital, the city has even more consciously worked with design and how to like integrate design into the everyday life of people and how can design make people's lives better and easier.
As well as all the reasons that we've just spoke about, why it's a nice place to live, I'm also assuming as we're in a Nordic country, like free healthcare, free schools, like, you know, it's a good quality of life, right?
Yeah, definitely. It is like a welfare society. So things are very good here. For example, I have a family, two kids, and I really feel that on every level, things are very well taken care of. Yes, so I'm a very happy taxpayer, especially now that I see how much services you're provided with.
Actually included in that, what is the maternity and paternity situation like? So when you fall pregnant, do you get time off work or not? Or
full pay, half pay?
Yeah, about like 70% of your pay, of course, up to a certain degree. We just have actually a new system where one parent gets 6 months and the other one gets 6 months, and then you get another 6 months that you can share any way you want to. So the new system is meant to also encourage both parents to stay at home with the child and really like establish a strong bond to the child.
We've mentioned two keywords, Nordic and Scandinavia. So let's clear this up once and for all. Mm. Are we in Scandinavia if we're in Finland?
Well, to be really like exact, no. Then we would have to say like Fennoskandia. But very few people know about this. So most people use Nordic and Scandinavian interchangeably. But if we really get down to the nitty-gritty, then Finland is a Nordic country, but if you just say Scandinavia, like technically, Finland is not part of Scandinavia. But I never interfere when people use Scandinavia because it's become such a general term that's used for the Nordic countries.
Yeah, so it's not offensive if somebody accidentally says that.
Oh, not at all, not at all. And a lot of people here also, I think, use it in a similar way. So, yeah.
What is offensive if someone says, oh, Sweden, Finland, same thing?
Oh, you know, with Sweden, we have this neighborly love / rivalry, especially when it comes to certain sports. We even have a sports competition and athletics competition. It's just Finland and Sweden, nobody else. Oh, wow. And we do that every August. But yeah, we love Sweden, but we also love beating Sweden at different sports.
So you love Sweden, but you're rivals, and you don't care about Norway?
Oh, well, there's also these maps that are distributed, especially in Finland and Norway, where Sweden just happens to be lacking altogether. Like, oops, it fell off the map. But we have this like loving, neighborly, humorous twist.
So let's wrap up and rate Helsinki out of 10. I'm not sure if we've done this for all the other episodes, but yeah, I think we've done some of them, but not all of them. We're slacking. So out of 10. So I think like you were really enjoying the trip. And then at the end of the trip, you turned to me and said, I think it was on one of our stories, like we were recording a video and I didn't know you were going to say this. Can you remember what you said?
I said, I want to live here. I want to be Finnish and live here. And that's why there's no, you're not going to be surprised by this. I honestly would give that weekend in Helsinki a 10 out of 10. And we never give 10 out of 10s.
Yeah, we actually don't. Like, you surprised me because normally we talk about it as we go, like on the trip, and you hadn't mentioned that to me. So that's why it surprised me. It didn't surprise me because, like, I didn't think it was a 10 out of 10. It was such an amazing place. And I'm really proud to say that I'm Finnish. Like, knowing all the sauna culture, and that's something that, like, they're just very healthy, classy people. And yeah, can only aspire to be similar.
Loved it.
Now, I'm a little bit stuck with my rating because it was a 10 out of 10 trip, but I don't know whether I can give it. I don't know where I can give 10 out of 10. I'm going to go for like a 9.8 because it was so good and I loved it. I don't know. But then it's silly to do it out of 10, isn't it? Because it's like you can never make a 10. Anyway, that's my final one, 9.8 out of 10. Now, to finish this episode, we just want to say, from the bottom of our hearts, such a massive thank you to Heidi. She really did make our trip. And I just want to say, like, on a personal level, I was so inspired by Heidi because obviously we were with her pretty much the whole time and we were out at lunch with her and dinners. And so we got to talk a lot and we learned about her life. And I just think she's one of the most inspirational women I've ever met. And I'm not just saying this to like suck up or anything like that. I really, really mean this. She's had some of the most impressive travel moments. Like, some of the stories she told us just absolutely blew me away. And she made me feel like I'm proud to be a woman and proud to be a traveler, because so many times people say to us, like, as women, oh, don't do that because it's dangerous. And she just kind of, obviously she's not doing anything stupid. She's always making sure she's safe, but like, she just lives life. And so, yeah, just a massive thank you for not only the trip, but for inspiring me as a female traveler. So thank you, Heidi.
Amy, I could not agree more. She was very inspirational, good to talk to, like fun to hang out with. And we've been lucky. We've had lots of great guides or, you know, local people or couch surfing hosts, people we've met on our travels. But it really felt like she went above and beyond. So thank you very much, Heidi. And this episode would have been nothing without her. Just me and Amy wandering around town, lost.
Right. So yeah, thank you, Heidi, and all of your colleagues at My Helsinki.
That's it for another episode of What the Faux Travel Podcast. Join us next time when we go to Poland. Dziękuję.
Jak się masz?
I like you. Before we wrap this up, we've got a question for you.
Is your boy Tarquin going on a gap year?
Is your gal pal Rachel off to eat, pray, love herself silly?
Then the best way to support this show is to share it with all your travel buddies.
Thanks, bye.